I'm often asked if Apple still considers itself an American company. My answer has always been yes. We are proud to be an American company and equally proud of our contributions to the U.S. economy.
Hello and welcome to the CallCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I went robotic just for you, Alex. My name is Irfan Elijah. I'm here with two gentlemen I really just admire a lot. There's the judge, jury, and executioner. Leander Caney is here. Leander?
Hey, Irfan.
Did you get that joke?
Yeah. No, okay, I didn't, actually.
Oh, okay. It's because you... never mind. It's because last week when you came in with your powdered wig and pooped all over my favorite rave pick. If you think I forgot about that, I haven't. And we've got Alex Excelsior Heath, the man with a great love for Apple. In fact, I think the only thing you love more than Apple, Alex, is alien probing technology, right?
Yep, definitely. Never going to let that go.
No, never. Never indeed. But, you know, it's only show conversation. We never actually talk about it when we're not on the show.
That's true.
Anywho, what a week we had this week. You know, as a fan of, as the Senate called him, Timothy Cook, I was just in heaven this week. I got to watch Tim make jokes. He was just laughing it up with John McCain. He was charming the Senate. So that's the big deal this week. Let's just start with that, guys. Tim Cook was in the Senate testifying about why Apple is not ripping off the United States and stealing tax dollars. And they called him in to Washington, D.C. to testify before some members of the Senate. And they asked him all sorts of good questions, bad questions. This freaking hearing was like, Alex, you didn't watch it, did you? It was like five full hours, you said?
Yeah, I watched, Buster and I watched like the first hour or two, and we just couldn't. I mean, it got to a point where it was just like, no, no, no.
No.
And then, and then the Xbox Live, the Xbox announcement started coming on, and we had two video streams going. And we're like, which one do we choose?
It's so tough to choose between watching the Senate hearing on CNET.
It was C-SPAN or Xbox.
Oh, sorry. Did I say CNET? I always get those confused.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of the word no, let me stop you for a second because I totally forgot to mention that this episode of the CallCast is sponsored by the fine folks at DigiDNA.net, makers of DiskAid 6. That's right, I said DiskAid. The best way to transfer videos, documents, and other information on and off your iDevices with ease. It's a Mac app that actually works on PC as well. And it allows you to upload all sorts of information to your iDevices, download information. It basically unlocks the storage power of your iDevices and lets you do things that there's just no way you could do with iTunes. Just no way. So I recommend you guys try it out. You know, you can download it for free. A lot of its basic features are free to use. Just head over to digidna.net, download DiskAid 6, and if you decide that you like it, you can unlock some of its advanced features. Enter the code THECULTCAST, and you'll save 30% off your license. We want to thank them for sponsoring the show. They've been sponsoring forever, over a year, and they're not just sponsors. They actually listen to this show. Can you believe it?
No.
No.
I always know when they listen, when they download, because our downloads go from 10 to 15. And we really appreciate
that. Oh, nice.
10 to 11,
did I just hear some weird bird howling in the background again, Leander?
That was my son. Jeez. My son, Olin. It's fun that... evening scream.
The evening scream. All right, back to the big deal. Let's talk about Tim Cook because he was sassy. He was classy. And I can't think of a third word to rhyme with that.
Yeah, I can think of another one. Which is what I felt about it. I was so outraged. I'm like, he said he doesn't play, Apple doesn't play tax gimmicks.
So you were actually mad about that, huh?
Oh my God.
Okay, so let's frame this first. So Tim Cook came in real defiant. And he was like, Apple doesn't play games. We don't, you know, try to skirt taxes that we legally owe. We're not trying to park our money in overseas bank accounts. He's like, we don't just follow the letter of the law, y'all. We follow the spirit of the law. He took it there. He was like, we take it all the way.
No games, y'all.
No games, y'all. He started flashing gang signs. He got real sassy.
Apparently has only two posters in his office, right? One of them is Bob Dylan. The other one is Bobby.
Mother?
Bobby Kennedy. No, Bobby Kennedy. Who's a great hero to have.
Uh-huh.
Okay, can we... So, Leander, you think it's Apple's fault?
Well, but this Ghost Corporation in Ireland, right? So they have a company in Ireland where they channel, what, $7 billion in profits?
Oh, it's like more than
it's
that.
It's like $70 billion in profits.
It's a ton of money.
Yeah, it's like all their overseas earnings.
So they don't pay tax on that in Ireland, and they don't pay tax on that here in the States.
Okay, well, from my understanding, here's how that works, okay? So Tim Cook was correct in saying that they paid all the taxes they legally owed. Apple isn't doing anything illegal, and the Senate wasn't accusing Apple of doing anything illegal, but they were kind of implying that what they were doing was maybe unethical, even though the tax loopholes that Apple, you know, takes advantage of are the same tax loopholes a lot of corporations take advantage of. But Tim Cook's point was, for all the money that we make in the U.S., we don't move it out of the U.S. Like, we pay taxes on it.
Okay.
But the money that's overseas, that is money that's stored overseas. It's money that we make from selling products in other countries. And I was actually surprised to learn, I think he said like 67% of Apple's current revenue is coming from other countries outside the U.S.
Right.
So he says we pay taxes on that money in those respective countries where those products are sold. But then we move it back to Ireland. And here's the trick. Because they have these corporations set up in Ireland, the U.S. can't tax it because they're not legally based in Ireland. But Ireland has this tax law that says if you're not governing your corporation from the country, then it's not legally based in Ireland. So right. Technically speaking, this corporation is based nowhere.
Right.
It's genius.
It's a ghost corporation.
Right. Yeah. And, I mean,
I was actually a little impressed.
Apple's still paying local taxes everywhere that it sells products in the right. world. Like if somebody buys an Apple product in Singapore, that country, you know, the city of Singapore is getting the taxes that it's supposed to get for that purchase. But then what happens is the rest of it goes to Ireland, and during the shift across the, you know, whatever intercontinental, you know, it lands in this mysterious ghost fund, and you're right. Then it becomes a no man's land.
Okay, so they've technically paid the taxes locally.
Oh yeah, they pay all their taxes.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this is profits that they can't actually touch, because if they bring it back into the U.S., they're going to get dinged 35%.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. I mean, so
yeah,
this isn't like Mitt Romney, right? With his, you know, with his
that Mitt Romney,
yeah, with his tax haven offshore accounts.
Right. No, it's like, and Tim Cook even said this, like they don't. It's not like they're setting up these, like, you know, these accounts in the Cayman Islands. You know, like what they're doing is perfectly legal. It's just taking advantage of a loophole in Ireland and another loophole in the U.S. that allows what happens in Ireland to take place.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they've been doing this from the beginning. They've been doing this since, you know, the 80s. So it's like
that's okay then. That's fine. Right. But there was one number in one of the stories I read saying that corporate taxes last year was $180 billion,
mm-hmm.
whereas taxes from individual taxpayers was something like $1.2 trillion.
Hmm.
And you go, wait a second, what? You know, we pay, a huge factor more than corporations do.
Yeah, I saw a number that said corporations used to contribute like 39% of U.S. tax revenue, and now they're down to about 9%. So, well, I mean, they have all these lawyers, they have lobbyists, they obviously have great accountants.
I know.
And they're able to move all their money around in ways where they just don't have to pay as much as we do.
And I don't know. I think a lot of stuff is screwed up, right? All around. Like,
screwed
up?
Totally screwed up. Yeah. I mean, it is really screwed up. It's crazy screwed up. Look at all the money. Apple makes more money than Norway. I mean,
Yeah, but should a company still have to pay a 35% tax rate? I mean, that's the highest tax rate in the world. The U.S. corporate tax rate is the highest tax rate in the world, and yet companies are still spending less in tax, you know, paying less.
Sitting on $130 billion. I mean, it's making so much money. It's piling up into a gigantic mountain of money. They can't even, they've got so much money, they're just sitting on it. I mean, yeah, hell yeah.
And the ludicrous thing is that they had to borrow money to do their stock buyback in the U.S. because the cost of bringing the money from Ireland into the U.S. to pay for their stock buyback was actually going to put them in debt versus just lending the money inside the U.S., which is nuts.
Which is probably what got them called in to Senate in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the other things, the other big ticket issue, you know, the other big political issue is immigration. And they want to loosen the immigration so they can import more, engineers.
Mm-hmm.
Because this country screwed up education system isn't producing enough well-educated people for Apple to hire.
What you mean, Leander? I'm plenty smart.
And you sound like where I'm from.
Well, hey, speaking of where you're from, Kentucky.
Yeah, my boy, Senator Rand Paul.
Senator Rand Paul represented. I've always been a Paul fan, if you will. And I thought it was hilarious at the very beginning. I actually watched this Senate hearing. This is probably the only Senate hearing I actually seeked out to watch, right? I was searching the internet to find it. And Rand Paul, at the very beginning, just apologized to Tim Cook and called for the rest of the senators.
He said this Congress should be on trial, is what he said.
Yeah, yeah.
Said, you know, we need to look in the mirror. We've got this Byzantine tax code, and we're expecting companies like Apple. Why are we attacking these American success stories when our code is so screwed up that they're having to resort to this kind of activity?
Yeah, needless to say, they didn't apologize.
No, I think,
one of the senators was like, you feel free to apologize if you want. He literally said this. He's like, we're not going to.
Did you notice, like, even the senators that were, like, vehemently, like, against Apple all prefaced their speeches by saying that they're Apple fans?
They were,
like,
kind of giddy, weren't they?
Like, they were all like, I have an iPhone in my pocket, and my mother loves them, but you are a terrible company.
Well, I thought they were kind of when they weren't attacking the company, were they? They were just asking questions.
Senator John McCain, kind of was.
McCain wasn't as bad as the Michigan senator. What's his name? Carl Levine? Is that it?
I believe that's it.
Yeah,
I am demonstrating my political ignorance at this moment.
He was. He's a
shark.
Wide eyed.
Yeah,
he was spitting. It looked like. I mean, he was really into it.
Well, who else did they call for testimony apart from Cookie?
They talked to Oppenheimer.
Microsoft. They've talked to Microsoft. Well, yeah.
You mean company-wide?
Which are the companies that they talked to?
This is a wide probe that they're doing. Like, they've talked to Microsoft.
Alex's favorite kind. He's perspiring the entire time. He's like, oh my goodness. Wiping his brow.
You went there. No, yeah, but it's a bunch of other tech companies. Apple's not the only one. But you know what I think is interesting is that they're not going to have ExxonMobil come in and do this. You know, they're not going to have any other company that actually lobbies on Capitol Hill come in and do this, because the reason Apple's an easy scapegoat is because Apple has basically no presence in Washington compared to most of these other companies.
Yeah. And
Exxon is, you know, these politicians, they're not going to want to pick on companies like Exxon, who are probably doing more shady things than Apple.
Oh, you know it. Yeah. They're probably straight up killing people.
Well,
allegedly.
I just find it ridiculous it's not ridiculous because Apple is one of the most valuable companies in the world. But if you're going to be picking on big companies, why don't you pick on Exxon and why don't you pick on other companies?
I don't think this is picking on people. I pay my taxes. I want these corporations to pay their taxes too.
But you know what? Here was Tim Cook's point. He was like, your tax system is really screwed up. He even said we would be for you totally scrapping the tax system, redoing it to make it much simpler. And we realize that means that we will probably end up having to pay more taxes because of it. But we'd still be willing to do that because this whole system needs to be totally overhauled. That was the thing that I came away with that I was really impressed with by Tim Cook. I mean, he just seems like he has a lot of integrity. He didn't seem like he was trying to be shady. He wasn't trying to hide anything. He seemed like he was being very forthright. And he was like, listen, we take advantage of the tax loopholes that are available to us, just like every business does.
Well, yeah. And I think what Apple wants is to be able to get its money back in the U.S.
They do. So, they would love to bring it back here.
Yeah. And so,
all
like, right.
They've exported all the jobs, and now they want to bring all the money profits back.
And Rand Paul had a great idea. You know, this is what other senators have been trying to push, is that, you know, the U.S. government put in this temporary 5% rate on repatriating money from, you know, international areas back into the U.S. so that companies can get their money back without taxing nearly half of it. And then go from there. And I think that's a smart thing. You know, why don't they lower it so that these companies can bring everything back and then move it to a better percentage?
You know, one of the things that Tim Cook mentioned too that I thought was really just kind of show that Apple's trying to bring money, bring talent back here, is he talked about they're opening a factory in Texas to build a new Mac line. Now,
first
Alex,
time,
do
yeah,
we
first,
know what Mac that's going to be yet?
No, the early rumors were that it was going to be the Mac Pro because it made sense because it was going to be low yields. You know, it's not going to be, you know, something like the iMac where it's, you know, it's their more niche product. They're not going to have a lot of sales. So
yeah,
they're
going to make about 25 of them.
But yeah.
They can employ three people.
Just to say that they did it.
So,
it's not like 40 million iPhones, right, where they have to have like, you know, 500,000 low-wage Asian workers putting them together.
Yeah,
working for $50 a month.
This is the first time Cook said where the assembly was going to be taking place, but then in Texas. And then I guess it might be the Mac Mini if it's not
good. Nah, there's something going on here. This is a new product. They just built a big Texas in Austin. A new campus, I mean. Sorry.
And I heard that Foxconn was the one building it.
No.
That's what I read. That's what I've been reading, is the rumor has it that it's actually owned by Foxconn.
I mean, it may be partnering with Foxconn because that's their main supply chain partner. But, I mean, it's Apple's plant. And like the Austin, Texas campus has been there forever. I think they're remodeling it.
Why is Apple running its own? Why is Apple building its own plants when they contract to Foxconn?
I think they want to bring manufacturing. I think honestly, Tim Cook wants to bring manufacturing back to the U.S.
Oh yeah,
But they can't do it because the manufacturing, facilities, the talent, and the skills don't exist here. Truly. To build, you know, the quantities that they would need, I don't think that they would be able to easily do that here.
I know they tried this before. They tried to work with Alcoa with the Mac Mini originally back in 2000, and they couldn't get, you know, the quality from these American companies. So they went to Foxconn, and Foxconn was like, yeah, you know, we'll bend over backwards to get whatever you want. And they did.
We'll bend our workers over backwards.
Exactly.
They're like, come see, we bent them.
But the point being, though, is like, you know, look what Foxconn's doing, right? I mean, Foxconn has got the most amazing factories now. You know, I mean, they're able to build anything.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense for Apple. Why would Apple insource this anymore when they've got this amazing partner?
I think, you know, Apple wants
care of that.
Apple wants to be that success story that can say designed in California, made in the USA on its products. And I think that really just gets to their philosophy. I mean,
it's never, ever going to happen with their high product, with their mass products, with the iPhone. I mean, because they're just making so many, they can't make them here unless they build them by robots. And they're also doing that. They're investing a lot more in automation. One of the stories I don't think has been reported is that there's a lot more automation on the line than people think.
Well, I mean, eventually it'll all be automated, won't it? I mean, I can't see why that wouldn't happen.
Well, I don't know about that, but
I mean, what part of the assembly process couldn't be automated? And done more efficiently if it's automated. I mean, why would you have people, like human beings, there gluing screens on when you could have machines doing it at twice the speed or three times the speed?
Yeah, but you'd have to. There's like, I don't know how many people are there. There's thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of people on some of those lines, and that's a big investment. I mean, I think these robots are at least.
Yeah, they're really expensive. So
$10 each. So
$9 or $10 each.
It's a long-term investment. I mean, I know they're pretty flexible. I mean, if you look at Tesla's got a plant here where they build their cars, and that's all robot assembly. But, I mean, you're talking about a few tens of thousands of cars, you know, not millions and millions of iPhones and iPads.
Yeah. I don't know. If Apple was ever able to come back to the U.S., at least in some capacity, and say that, like, their end retail price on a product went up by, like, you know, I don't know, $50, maybe $100 on like a bigger product, a more expensive one. Do you think people would pay it knowing that it's made in the U.S.?
I don't think people give a hoot.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a premium product, they would have to sell it as a premium product. Not that their products aren't premium already, but like the Retina MacBook, right? Significantly more expensive than the regular MacBook, and people buy it. So if they started off with a product that was, you know, had
I don't know, I think
high
we
premium.
I don't think like a 14-year-old coming in to buy an iPod Touch would care, but like if I could buy a Retina MacBook Pro for $100 extra that was made in the U.S., I would get it, knowing that it was made in the U.S.
I think the thing, you know, like the labor and the assembly costs, I think are a relatively small part of the cost.
I think Tim Cook was saying the same thing. He was saying the problem was the manufacturing skills don't exist here, and that's their major problem.
Exactly, and plus there's a whole supply chain. I mean, like, you know, even something like the iPhone has got something like 300-400 different major parts in it, and they all come from, you know, some of them, they all come from other manufacturers, you know, so the screen is an assembly that's put together by, you know, some other company.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of those, you know, assembly, you know, different spots along the way are already in the U.S. Like, I know Corning, one of Corning's main plants is right here in Kentucky. Like, there's a lot of, you know, that Samsung makes stuff down in Texas. I mean,
that's the only one. It's only the chip and the screen.
Yeah,
and I think almost everything else is made overseas. Some of it's made in Germany. Some of it's made in Singapore. Some of it's made in Korea. Some in Taiwan. You know, and it's all assembled in China.
I mean, just imagine, though, if it was all made in the U.S. and Apple could have such tight control over the supply chain process. I mean, we would never know anything. We would never have a leak.
Well, they don't have a leak now, do they?
I mean, the only leaks that do come are from, like, you know, random parts that get leaked to, you know, third parties, you know, overseas. Yeah, yeah. Those are the only leaks that happen. So imagine if it's in the U.S. and Apple's right there, you know.
I think it would be even more leaky. I mean, why would it be more secure?
Because Apple's you got the big boys, you know, right next door. You know, it's like they have such tight control because everything's so much closer. They don't have to wait for, you know, for shipments to arrive, and I don't know. It just seems like it would be so much more tightly controlled.
Oh, then that's definitely what's going to happen. Because imagine if Tim Cook could not just double down, but triple down on secrecy.
Quadruple down.
Quadrupled, quintupled down on secrecy, y'all. Hey, guys, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we need to wrap up on Tim Cook, although I do want to talk about him for the rest of the show. The one just zany thing that happened at the end of the hearing that was totally weird and I can't believe happened. And then we got to talk about the other big news this week. We got to talk about it. It's the Xbox One. A lot of you guys know I'm a huge video game fan, but there's an Apple spin, so you're definitely going to want to stay tuned for that. We'll be right back. Hey guys, Evan Elijah here. I'm back to tell you all about the brand new DiskAid 6. That's right, I said DiskAid 6. All new, totally wireless now. Such a great application. DiskAid, of course, is the iPad, iPhone transfer tool for Mac and PC. And it lets you do so many things that you just could never do with iTunes, such as, have you ever wanted to use your iOS device as a USB storage device? You can do that with DiskAid 6. You can download your music, videos. It also lets you download your text messages, contacts, notes, voicemails, call history, your voice memos, all directly to your computer. Plus, if you ever wanted to download your music off of one of your iOS devices, easy to do with DiskAid 6. It even lets you back up and restore your iTunes library to an entirely different computer, bringing along your album art, your metadata, even how many times your songs have been played. Are you looking for a good way to download your iPhone photos to your computer? Super easy to do with DiskAid 6, and not only can you do the photos living on your iPhone, you can even access your iCloud photos and your photos in PhotoStream. But I think my favorite thing about DiskAid 6 is it lets you bypass iTunes when you're uploading movies directly to your iOS devices. I use this when I'm traveling. It's really easy to do. You just drop a video onto your iPad or your iPhone, it uploads, and boom, it's ready to watch. You just download DigiDNA's free file app, and you can watch that video all without long iTunes syncing. Sound good? I thought you'd like that. Head over to digidna.net. You can download a copy of DiskAid 6 for free. A lot of its basic features are free to use. And if you decide that you like it, you can unlock its advanced features. Just use the code THECULTCAST at checkout, and you'll save 30% off your order. That's digidna.net. thecultcast.net, and the code is thecultcast. I want to thank them for being a sponsor of the show. They have been a sponsor forever. We really appreciate their support. Go check it out, digidna.net. And we're back! Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. I just want to tell you guys how much I love Tim Cook, and let's wrap up with this story. I love him. So you guys, I maybe didn't see this. When he was leaving, this is really bizarre. Why was TMZ there, first of all? TMZ was there. Popular pop culture magazine.
A celebrity, y'all.
Well, online magazine, that must be it. And television show, for those who are not from the U.S., it's kind of like celebrity gossip. So they're there, and they always have like the weirdest questions that they ask celebrities, trying to get a reaction out of them. So this photographer or videographer was there as Tim Cook was leaving, and he was like, "Hey, Mr. Cook, do you remember when like they did that hologram of Tupac?" And Tim Cook's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Holograms are getting really popular these days, huh?" And he's like, "Okay." He's like, "Do you see Apple ever doing like a hologram of Steve Jobs and like putting him on stage for like a future event?" And I don't think Tim Cook, I don't think he ad-libs very well.
What do you say to that? Yeah. Like,
well,
yes.
He should have slapped him.
Yeah,
he should have done.
Hell no. Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
But he did was like kind of chuckle, and he's like, "Oh, I can't comment on that." Kind of like implying that maybe they are working on that.
Guys, well, he was talking about new product categories.
That's right.
Maybe the new eye hologram.
The eye hologram. The in-home design assistant that
let's get a post
you.
Up Cult of Mac exclusive.
You should definitely do that after we're done with the show. Make sure you send it out in the morning so everyone can see it. Okay. Not bizarre at all, right? That was totally weird, but such a fantastic ending to Tim Cook's testimony. Let's move on though. So the other big news this week, obviously, is
Xbox One.
Oh, finally, they finally released a new system.
Well, not released.
Well, announced. I'm sorry. They finally announced a new system. So the Xbox One, bigger, faster, stronger than the current Xbox. But the big features that they showed were the TV features. And they actually showed mostly TV features, hardly any gaming stuff at the event that they had. And immediately what came to my mind as I was seeing this Xbox One, it's a Blu-ray player. It can, you know, it acts as a programming guide, so you can create your own personalized channels. You can watch TV through it. I'm not sure if it has DVR functionality.
I mean, I think if you have DVR functionality, because it does HDMI like pass through to your cable box.
Uh-huh.
So I think whatever your cable box does, I think it can do.
Okay, because if it doesn't have DVR, that would seem weird. But really slick machine. I mean, I've been reading some people were like, "Ooh, I don't like it," and I don't understand what there isn't what they could not like about this machine. It looks like a fantastic video game machine and a really cool home entertainment system, which is what Microsoft has been trying to do with Xbox 360, and this is the next step. So immediately, what came to my mind is, well, what about Apple TV? Mm. We've been hearing about Apple TV an Apple television for like a year now. Still don't know when one's going to come out, if one's going to come out. And then we have the Apple TV Puck, you know, a little thing they sell now for $100 that streams content from all over the web and also from services like Netflix and Hulu. But I really love the Netflix experience and some of the streaming experiences you can get from Xbox. So I was wondering if maybe this could affect Apple TV sales in the future. But Alex, you wrote a piece recently, and you're like, "No, I don't think that's going to happen." So what was your opinion on that?
Well, first of all, I appreciate that the Apple TV doesn't look like a Betamax like this thing does.
So you think the Xbox One is ugly?
It's hideous. It's a giant, like, I mean, it is such a bizarre.
It's very boxy.
It's huge. It's
it kind of reminds me of my
TiVo. Size of the 360.
Like, I don't think it's twice the size.
It's
of
what
the
it looks like.
You're like, it's the size of a car. I'm like, no, not really. It's not really the size of a car.
I mean,
it does look boxy.
It's boxy, and I do not want to be using Internet Explorer. So that makes me not
arguably,
want to buy it.
Yeah, when they're showing Internet Explorer, it reminded me of that scene from Mean Girls where that girl was kept trying to say clutch. And I'm like, quit trying to push Internet Explorer. It's not going to be a thing. You know what I mean? No. Crickets.
No, I'm going to try to.
Please continue, Alex.
Okay.
Somebody out there got that.
No, I don't think that Apple needs to be worried about the Xbox One, because it's still, like, even though it is this entertainment machine that they're trying to pitch it as,
super machine,
at its core, it's still for gaming. Like, it would not exist if there wasn't.
I don't know. Some gamers would disagree with you.
Well, I think that the hardcore gamers are going to be, at least from what I've seen in, like, you know, post comments and stuff, is that the hardcore gamers are upset because it's so much fluff on top of their gaming experience. And then you have everyone else who's not into gaming, and they're like, well, this is cool, but why does it have all this gaming stuff?
Yeah, so it's this official file.
Yeah, it's this weird no man's land that the Xbox One is in, where, like, I think the only kind of demographic it appeals to is, like, you know, the mid-20s hipster addicted to Netflix, Xbox Live, loves Call of Duty type of person who's going to instantly be able to go, yeah, I get gestures. I get pinching to close apps on my TV. That makes sense to me. Well, guess what? You give that to my mom, she's going to have no idea how to navigate that thing. It's
you think
not,
she wants one? When's her birthday?
Well, you already know, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
But I don't see it as this. It's not something that appeals to everyone. It just doesn't. And if there is one in the house, because one of the teenagers uses it, maybe the parents will be like, I'll try giving this thing a shot. But there's no parent that's going to go buy this thing, you know, for anything other than the fact that, you know, for somebody that wants to play games, you know, like it's not for your grandma. It's not for your 10-year-old.
Although if your grandma had one of these, she'd pretty much be the coolest grandma ever.
Right.
Yeah. So my argument for why the Apple TV was safe is that it's just different audiences. You know, when Apple does their set-top box, it's going to appeal to everyone. It's going to appeal to the 60-year-old just as much as it appeals to the 10-year-old. And Xbox is in this kind of weird no man's land.
I don't know about no man's land. I think your first description was really accurate. In fact, I think you described me, whether or not you were trying to, I don't know.
But well, hipster, I was describing myself
ultra cool,
well.
Really svelte, like, body. Likes to play video games. You said all those things, right? That's what I heard.
Things, sure.
And I was like, yep, check.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the average person is not going to go from, like, the traditional remote to talking and Minority Report gestures. Like, they're just not going to.
I totally agree with you. And this is one of my main arguments about why, you know, like, regular folks, or I should say maybe not regular folks, but non-techie folks, maybe don't use Android. It's maybe one of the reasons why
I don't know about
don't
Android.
Google Plus.
I think a lot of normal people are using Android. I think it's more applicable to Google and Google Glass. I mean, like, these, like Microsoft with the Xbox One and Google with Google Glass, I think show how Apple's competitors don't have Apple's, like, tactfulness in how they introduce totally new product categories. Apple has this kind of, like, graceful way of introducing totally new ideas to people that people just kind of get. Mm-hmm. Whereas Google is like, okay, we want to do wearable computing, so put this HUD display on top of your face. And, like, normal people aren't going to want to do that. And normal people aren't suddenly going to go, yeah, this makes sense to flip and pinch and zoom to operate my TV.
Yeah, and then there's also the big thing that's, I think, more than anything that of what you already said, is that the Xbox most likely is going to be released at $500. It's going to be expensive. And the Apple TV, Apple has been really focused on bringing the price down to $99. Because remember, it used to be $300. Mm-hmm. Because they want everyone to be able to afford one. And you can get a refurbed Apple TV for even less than $100. I think they sell them for $90. So it's really accessible to everybody. And the fact that it plays so nicely with your iOS devices, I think you're right. I agree with you.
Apple's about content first, right? And gaming is kind of like this side thing. Like, you can mirror a game to the Apple TV, but it's definitely not one of the Apple TV's tentpole features. Whereas the Xbox, no matter how hard Microsoft tries to pitch this as this entertainment hub, it's still at its core a gaming device. And, like, it will always be a gaming device unless Microsoft decides to do away with that, which I don't see why they would. But it's just... It's not the same. It's just not the same. It's not the same.
No, you're right. And the other thing I was thinking too was, as far as content, is that's something Apple has streamlined. I mean, they're masters at it, right? Getting you content. Right. And
except in the TV situation, right?
Except
now.
In the TV situation.
Yeah. Well, that
ironically, they have the CW.
Right. The CW. That was the most interesting news, I think. Like.
Oh yeah, that's really interesting. That CW is the first TV station that's letting Apple get, like, you can have access to the CW without needing a cable subscription.
I mean, I could finally stream all
Vampire Diaries,
Dawson's Creek.
Yes. Smallville reruns.
Yeah, but I can't wait to see Joey again.
It's the first. It's the first one.
Huh. Yeah, it is the first one. I think it's, you know, it's a sign of things to come. But I mean, like, it's going to take, I mean, you pay $60 a year. I was just heard this, actually. I thought it was fascinating. You, like, the average cable subscriber pays $60 a year for just ESPN. Now, how many people actually watch ESPN? True, they have a lot of viewers, but, like, I don't. Yet my cable package at the end of the year, I'm paying a Netflix subscriptions cost for just ESPN, and I don't
That's why it's going to be hard for Apple to unbundle this stuff.
Yeah, this stuff is so bundled together, and so what happens if that gets pulled away and it becomes this a la carte model, then all of a sudden all the rates are going to go way up because all of a sudden,
right? It's like you want HBO a la carte, you know? Yeah, which is how they sell it. It's $20.
ESPN is selling their network on all of the people that pay for their service, not the people that actually watch their service.
Right.
And so all of a sudden when you have people that actually want to pay for ESPN, ESPN is going to be like, sorry, the rate's doubled because we have a ton of people that never watch us in the first place that we don't have anymore.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that's still, and then continuing into the foreseeable future, going to be the big problem.
Right.
Is, you know, they make a lot of money by forcing everyone to buy all these cable packages.
Right.
That include all these channels that you don't want, but you are paying for anyway. What are you going to say, Leander?
Well, you're also talking about gaming, right, on the Apple TV.
Yeah.
And I mean, it has a great grain platform, the iPad and the iPod Touch and the iPhone through AirPlay, right? So,
Well, yeah, I think they need to open it up to developers is what they need to do.
What do you mean? Like, open up
the Apple TV, like put an app store for the Apple TV. Like this is like, these are games made for the Apple TV.
It's got to be coming, hasn't it?
I mean, it's got to be coming. Has to be. They introduced that, you know, icon type layout that you can kind of rearrange like the home screen. You know, like they're showing this.
So you want to play games on your TV via Apple TV?
I don't know about Apple products.
Well, not games, but home, like Skype, you know, video conferencing.
Skype, things like
that. That was a slick feature of the Xbox One.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. You know, forever since Microsoft purchased Skype, it never made sense to me. I was like, why did Microsoft want to buy Skype? They've integrated it kind of feebly into a few Office products. But for the amount of money they paid for it, it didn't make sense. And now all of a sudden, it makes perfect sense. Because you can do that quick switching, right? Or it lets you do the multitasking. So you could be talking to someone and on a video chat with the Kinect, which is, you know, included with every Xbox console now. And you could be watching a movie. You could be watching the Super Bowl, and you could see your friends who are living halfway, you know, across the country as you're doing that. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh, I didn't realize my Kinect was on. Yeah. This got awkward. You're like, this is the third time this has happened.
Yeah.
There's no reason like that. Yeah. Well, the Apple TV should have FaceTime, right? You know, like
yes, absolutely. What?
Yeah. Exactly. And you know, like home automation, and I guess you know.
Oh yeah.
Nest type functionality, and you can see all that kind of coming, right? You can just sort of see the TV.
Yeah, it's all like the foundations are being laid, right?
Well, and I think there's like, well, because Apple has to, when they're talking to these, you know, Hollywood execs about getting content, you know, these Hollywood people are going, okay, well, how many people do you have using your device? How many people am I going to be able to sell my stuff to? Mm-hmm. And right now, it's kind of a hobby for Apple. They sell a decent amount of Apple TVs, but they don't sell that many. They don't sell anywhere near as much as any of their other products. And so they're not going to have a lot of leverage to say, you need to give us access to your content, because they don't have a huge user base for the Apple TV. It's not a very engaged user base.
Right.
And so what if they open it up to developers and developers come, and then all of a sudden you get more people using it because there's cool apps, then I think that gives Apple a platform to say, hey, look at all these people that are engaged on the Apple TV. You need to give us your content because this is a huge booming, you know, market. And right now it's just not. So they clearly need to do something with developers before I think they'll even be able to license anything.
Let me ask you this, though. When you say open up the Apple TV to creating apps, because the apps are obviously going to be used on the television. What kind of apps are you talking about? I honestly cannot think of an app that
okay,
I would want to use on my television.
Leonard already said, like, home automation, video conferencing.
But those are things that you need hardware and house integration to use.
Well, I mean, if I can have an iPhone app for my Nest, why can't it be on my TV? You know, like, I think it goes for anything.
I think there'd be a whole bunch of, like, even just basic calendaring, right? Like having a family calendar that came up through the television. Mm-hmm.
really? That would help you?
And even an alarm clock. Using the TV as an alarm clock.
You fall asleep on the couch, it wakes you up.
Yeah, exactly. And it reminds you to do stuff. And
or it'd be cool
weather
if
alerts,
you have like
traffic
a weather.
Alerts,
yeah,
really
especially
cool
if this
maps.
Stuff was like overlaid over your content. That would be pretty cool. Like the stuff that you're actually
or
watching.
Just like Siri so that you can like talk to it.
Oh,
you
know? Yeah. So, that's what I want. Siri on my television. Yeah. Siri, change it to channel 5. Did you say that you are glad to be alive? No. No, yeah. Siri. That's not what I said.
Well, I don't know.
Do you need to go to bed? This is my experience with Apple
TV. The way
TV.
The Apple TV, the OS for the Apple TV is engineered now is that the entire thing runs as a single app. So there's absolutely no multitasking environment in the current Apple TV SDK. I've had developers talk to me about this. So for Apple to be able to do something, they'd have to totally rewrite it so that people could do apps that actually work like iOS. Mm-hmm. Because as it is right now, the whole thing is one giant app. So that's why people can't make apps for it.
Definitely going to need to do something compelling with it because I saw of the Microsoft One, it's a compelling product. It's very cool. And a lot of the technologies they're bringing to the living room, to the TV, are unlike things I've seen before. And they actually look useful. They're not just gimmicky like all the stuff that Samsung puts in their smartphones.
And I mean, like I said in my post, this living room stuff, it takes a lot of time. Like it took an Xbox, 7 years to come out with a new one? Been 7 years. I mean, I don't know how long it'll take Apple, but I mean, the Apple TV came out nearly 7 years ago. So, I mean, this stuff takes time.
And Microsoft has been putting a lot of resources behind it for a long time, not just treating it as a hobby, right? I mean, I feel like at a certain point, like Apple's going to have to. I mean, I don't know. They're obviously making a lot of money. Maybe they don't have to go all in. Maybe they can just continue it as a hobby. It's funny. You look at how much they're making.
I don't think
and
they can.
They call it a hobby, but they're making more than most businesses in the U.S. make, you know, in their entire lifespans in one year.
Yeah. That's just because of their size. But I don't think they can. They can't keep ignoring it. I mean, it is the next thing that needs to be. Apple's about, you know, revolutionizing things that don't work. Mm-hmm. And this is a big glaring problem in the technology space.
And maybe they already are, right? I mean, they've got the screen technology now that they've been working with for a while. Now maybe they've been like testing out how this software and technology should work.
Yeah.
Once
I mean, Leander reported last year on that prototype they had that was almost like the Xbox One. I mean, it had like the camera, the FaceTime camera.
Right. I remember that. Had the really good picture of Robert Redford on the front.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know why I remember that.
I mean, they've clearly been prototyping this stuff. I mean, they've been working on it for years.
Huh. All right. Well, hey guys, I think we should probably wrap it up there. Do you think we should talk about the Xbox and Microsoft some more? Maybe some Google.
Some Yahoo.
Maybe some Yahoo. Oh my goodness. We should wrap up, but. Actually, let's talk about this just really briefly. We got a new release of iTunes or an updated release of iTunes. Yeah. Have you guys installed it yet?
It's not really that exciting.
It's kind of exciting. You got a new mini player.
I mean, that doesn't really like make my day, but.
And it's been redesigned a little bit. No, doesn't do it for you. I actually don't even use iTunes hardly at all anymore. All I use is Pandora. That's it.
Yeah.
So maybe some Pandora news. Pandora is going to be allowing people to stream their favorite songs to their Facebook pages finally. How about that news?
That's awesome.
Yeah, you sound excited about it.
Yeah.
I've been training this radio station for a good 2 weeks. I might set it free if people want to listen to it. Oh, it's great.
We're really ending the show on a high note.
Okay, yeah, let's take it out right there before we lose the rest of our audience. Hey, that's all the Cultcast we have for you this week. I want to thank DigiDNA for sponsoring the show.
There goes DigiDNA.
And, you know, head on over to DigiDNA.net. Grab your copy of Disc Aid 6. That's right. I said Disc Aid 6. Give it a go. A lot of its basic features are free to use. And, hey, if you want to converse with us on Twitter, you can do so. We have such a good time on Twitter. Alex is Alex E. Heath. I'm used to saying Buster, but he's not here. Killianders, L. Caney. I'm at Air Fun. And of course, for all the best news and reviews and how to use the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac on Twitter. And of course, you can always join us on our Facebook page. That's just facebook.com/TheCultCast. And suggest news topics, interact, maybe tell us things you like about the show. Nothing that you don't like about the show. Don't leave those things on the Facebook page. That wouldn't be nice at all. This has been The Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of The Cultcast come out every Thursday night. Until next time, we will see you guys next time.
I was wondering how you were going to say that.
Buster not being here threw me off. Alex, what's up?
Hey.
I can barely hear you.
I know. I haven't plugged my mic in.
Oh, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah. Let's keep it like that.
Appreciate it.